Tim Murray is the host of VSiN Primetime Live, airing from 5 until 8 Central Time, 6 to 9 Eastern. He's also the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. He's on Twitter at @1TimMurray. All right, Tim, I need, because you're a true degenerate like myself, is college football harder to bet this year? I've won, I think now dating back 4 straight years, and I got to tell you, man, right now I'm gun shy.
I'm looking back at my weekend. I didn't have a great week. I would say I've had a slightly better year this year than in previous years. But I don't. College football is always a challenge to bet, and you know, you look at the bad beats that are sustained, and
injury reports.
Yeah, I mean, right now the injury report situation with all the quarterbacks that are all banged up. You know, we just don't know. I mean, KJ Jefferson for Arkansas, is he playing this weekend? Is he going to be out? I mean, what did Sam Pittman say? Could be day to day. Could be. I think he said he's seen injuries last 3 weeks. So yeah, it is very challenging when you look at the injury situation and, you know, news trickling out. Stormy Bonatoni, who is a colleague of mine and an ESPN reporter, she didn't know that Michael Pratt was hurt. You know, and she was covering the game. So it's like Tulane's quarterback, by the way. So yes. It is challenging for sure. And, you know, always be careful. Don't be firing your 401k. Sometimes you have red hot weekends, like a couple weeks ago, I was fortunate to. And then sometimes Matt Campbell decides to kick a field goal with the field goal kicker who's missed 2 field goals already on 4th and 1 with a minute to go.
And 4th and 1's not even really fair. It was like 4th and a foot.
Just stick the football out, man. Just stick it out, put it over the line. But then I don't know. I've never really, I'll be honest, and it has nothing to do with the result that we saw on Saturday from Iowa State. I've never fully grasped the Matt Campbell love affair, and I know it's kind of died down over the past couple of years, but yeah, I felt like it was a little overinflated, and you know, I'd be curious what's next for him if he just stays there at Iowa State for a long time. I feel like he didn't jump off at the right time, and now I don't know if exposed is the right way to say it, but you know, he's gonna have some ups and downs, and I was pretty unimpressed by the performance that he and his offense put out there, because the defense played their butt off against Kansas.
No, it is interesting. Like a couple years ago, you could have talked yourself into, like, if Jim Harbaugh left Michigan, like,
yeah,
oh, maybe Matt Campbell would be the next Michigan
coach.
They
were talking about firing Harbaugh to go get Campbell.
And now,
well, and then it was, you know, I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I follow that team as close as any, and more than any. And, you know, the talk of Notre Dame fans was, well, you know, if we need to fire Brian Kelly, it'll be Matt Campbell. And then, you know, they played, and this was, and once again, I don't know if this is fair, but I remember watching Notre Dame play Iowa State in whatever they call the bowl in Orlando now. Is it the Cheez-It Bowl?
It's the Citrus Bowl. Not the Citrus. It's the one that's before. Mark covered the worst game in college football bowl history. He covered
one
that,
of them. It's certainly that, the worst game I can
that
remember.
Virginia Tech Rutgers in the Russell Athletic Bowl in pouring rain.
Well, what was the Pitt? Wasn't it Pitt against someone in the Sun Bowl that was 3-0? Was it Oregon State or something like that?
Yeah.
There was a Cheez-It Bowl in Phoenix that was like 7-6 between TCU and
Cal. They had like 5 straight plays of dueling interceptions.
I watched the entire game. It was beautiful.
By the way, it's called Camping World Stadium now in Orlando.
But it's now I think the Cheez-It Bowl has moved from Phoenix. So it's the Cheez-It Bowl in Camp. Whatever. The long-winded story that I was bringing up why, once again, Memphis Radio loves the random college football teams that I talk about.
Oregon State, now Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State. So last point here is they got blown out by Notre Dame in a game where you're like, that's the Super Bowl for Iowa State. You've got Notre Dame in a bowl game in Orlando, and Notre Dame just obliterated them in a year that I think Notre Dame was, you know, teetering on, do they make the playoff? Then they had a couple late losses, and then they ultimately land there, and they smoked them. I'm like, is this Matt Campbell guy all the rage? And then last year they were underachieving. So long-winded story. I'm frustrated with Iowa State because
we bet
talked
on
about
Saturday.
We had Iowa State I had we talked about Mississippi State on here last week, which was thankfully a winner, a pretty easy one. Cal let us down.
I'm giving Cal a pass. When Plummer got hurt, we were dead. Yeah. You know what I mean? Plummer got hurt, we were dead.
Yeah. So
and then Ole Miss, Kiffin goes for, like, at least he went for it on fourth down to try to get outside the number. But when you have a team that doesn't cover a touchdown that never trailed, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Well, you brought up Mississippi State. I want to ask you two SEC lines that are really interesting to me. The Arkansas Mississippi State line, Mississippi State an 8-point favorite over Arkansas. And then you've got the Tennessee LSU line with Tennessee a 3-point favorite over LSU. Which line do either of them, both of them feel like they're ripe for, what would you say, this stinks category?
So fishy, or I would call, stinky lines. Arkansas, Mississippi State, there's just so many unknowns.
That one tells me, though, that they don't expect KJ to play, right? Yeah, that was my instinct.
Yeah, it does tell me that. And historically, teams who lose to Alabama usually have a letdown. But Mississippi State is also primed for a letdown because they just smoked a top 25 team in Texas A&M. I would lean towards Mississippi State a little bit in this. I don't love laying north of a touchdown in this spot. There is an SEC game that I want to get to that really intrigued
Bring
me.
Bring it on.
As for LSU Tennessee, so I was all ready to bet LSU. I'm like, I'm all in because this is a classic look-ahead spot for Tennessee. Next week, they get to host Big Brother on the third Saturday of October. Yes, this is the spot to fade Tennessee. The problem is that Tennessee is coming off a bye, so they should be geared up, ready to go. I still would lean a little bit towards LSU. Do you get a little peek ahead? I mean, this is the chance for Tennessee, right? They have not beaten Alabama since 2006. And, you know, they smoke the cigars after the game every single year. And it's just been beat down after beat down by Alabama. So I'm curious the mindset there. It's a 11 a.m. local game in Baton Rouge. It is going to be a sellout. Jaden Daniels got hurt last week. I think Brian Kelly said he should be fine, but who the hell knows if that's truthful or not. So I would lean a little bit LSU here in a potential look-ahead spot. The game in the SEC that intrigues me, and I think you've picked up on by now, I like taking points more than laying points more often than not. I think Florida is going to obliterate Missouri. And the reason is, I mean, how is Missouri going to get off the mat again? Back-to-back weeks, you go to Auburn, you have the game won, you've got a running back strolling into the end zone, he drops the football, they lose to Auburn. They turn around, they have a second-half double-digit lead against Georgia, and ultimately they can't win that game, they lose 26-22. Now you go on the road, you're playing Florida. Florida essentially had a bye week last week against Eastern Washington. I think this is a really bad spot for Mizzou, and I would go ahead and lay it with Florida because I just think, you know, letdown spots in my eyes can be both wins and losses. And we talked about Oregon State last week, right? After you had that game won against USC, what's the mindset going into Utah? Now, Chance Nolan of Oregon State got banged up, but he was also playing really bad. So, and Utah won that game by, you know, 26. So I do think this is a really tough spot for Missouri to kind of keep bouncing back up off the canvas after just two really painful losses.
All right, you used to cover the middies. They've got Tulsa this week, and I'm scared that this feels too obvious. I feel like where Navy really struggles is if you can throw the football. And Tulsa, Mark and I were talking about this because Mark got his first look at them last week. Like, it's not that they just throw the ball. Like, they go deep every single play if they can. Like, doesn't that kind of scream, this is Tulsa's spot?
Well, what's the quarterback situation there? Is Brynn healthy?
He played enough last week because I watched the Ole Miss game where he got banged up. I'll be honest with you, that felt like they took him out because they knew conference play was more important, and he played mostly against Cincinnati.
So
there's always a needle for that.
Yeah, I mean, Navy seems to be slowly, I don't want to say figuring it out, but I think they're getting incrementally better.
Competent.
Becoming more, I don't want to say what they were, because they've had some really good teams. And the teams that, you know, I was a part of the broadcast team, they've had some, you know, even more recently, they've had some really good teams. Ty Lavatai, I just don't know, you know, if he's not that guy, but he can run the offense. But you also look at, they went out to Colorado Springs. They played their rival last week in Air Force and lost that game. So I never really put too much stock in Navy having letdowns. They're always going to show up. They're always going to be kind of bouncing back. But, yeah, I think Tulsa would be a look here in this spot. I like Tulsa. I think they're getting better, too. You know, we have someone at VSiN, Adam Burke, who does updated power ratings every week. And he continues to bump up Tulsa each and every week. So, yeah, I think Tulsa probably would be the look here. You know, laying six on the road with, you know, at Navy is never super enjoyable.
No.
But, yeah, that would be, yeah. I think I would say this. I would rather bet on other games than Navy and Tulsa, but, you know, Navy is a team that I think is getting a little bit better, but I think Tulsa's getting a lot better. You know, and, you know, once again, pointing out a colleague of mine, Adam Burke, that I just mentioned, he upped Tulsa 6 points in his power ratings.
I like their receivers. Like, I think their receivers are actually good.
Yeah. I'm curious. You mentioned the Missouri-Georgia game from Missouri's perspective. From Georgia's perspective, the way they've played the last 2 weeks, has it changed the way you think about Georgia? Does it change the way you bet on them? Like, they're 29.5-point favorite against Auburn. I don't know what that line would have been if they didn't struggle against Missouri and Kent State, but did your perception of Georgia change because of the last couple weeks?
Mine maybe a little bit, that they're not invincible. You know, I think we did that last year where we anointed Georgia and then they lose in the SEC championship, and I thought that was the perfect time to back Georgia, because then there's like, oh, you know, they're not that great, and then they went out and suffocated Michigan and win the national championship, albeit fortunate that Jameson Williams tears his ACL. Do they win that game? Who knows? But they did ultimately win it. I almost think this is a good spot for you to look to back Georgia. Now, you got to lay, as you mentioned, a ridiculously enormous number against Auburn. I mean, what is Auburn right now?
If they beat the spread, Harsin's gone, right?
Yeah, and if they don't beat the spread, he may still be gone.
Because they have an open week this week.
They may have, like, I'm kind of woke. I think they didn't fire him after the LSU
McCarron thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of, well, I think they didn't fire him after the LSU game because they knew this game was coming. The Auburn Georgia game is a big, like, it's a rivalry, and I think they wanted to, like, see them get killed and be like, okay, the no doubt,
put it over the
yes,
top,
exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. That, you know, just rubber stamp it.
Yeah,
and maybe this is, sometimes you've seen this in recent years with, you know, Alabama or some of these juggernauts where they kind of have a couple close tests and you're like, whoa, maybe they're not that good, and then they come out and absolutely
never mind
murder a team. So yeah, they're laying 30 here. You do wonder if, you know, Georgia's kind of, yeah, these coaches like Saban and Kirby Smart and Ryan Day and, you know, Urban when he was coaching, they're so crazy that they probably like close games sometimes, because they're like, yes, now I can talk to this team like they've lost seven straight games. So I don't know what Auburn is. It feels like they're up 17-0. They blow that lead. They lose 21-17 last weekend. You look at some post game win expectancies. I think they had like a 92% chance to win that game. So once again, you try to play, you know, in the psyche of a young person, you're like, does this team know their coach is getting fired? They're going to Georgia.
Do they care?
Do they think they've got a chance here? So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this is, you know, 49-7. Because, look, Georgia got bumped down from 1-2. You know, I know people here in Las Vegas, I believe one of the sportsbook directors in town, I think he said he knocked them 3 points in their power rating. So it's like, you know, people are starting to say, hey, maybe they're, you know, maybe that Oregon game was maybe a little bit of a fool's gold. Maybe not completely, because we're talking about the elite of the elite, but this could be a spot where Georgia kind of flexes their muscles and says, yeah, we're still pretty darn good at what we do. And this isn't, you know, a situation. They got Vandy next week, so it's not like there's a spot out there where they're overlooking anything. Obviously, the cocktail party's not for a couple weeks. So I still think this might be the right time to back Georgia and just say, yeah, they're gonna exercise some demons on Saturday.
Well, and here's the crazy part about this college football weekend. if you did this, you know, back before the season started, the two biggest games of the weekend would be Oklahoma, Texas,
yep,
and then Alabama, Texas A&M.
Yep.
Both of them.
Trivia question, what's the only Big 12 game that doesn't involve a ranked team?
The Red River
Showdown. You might hear that stat later on this
first
week.
Time since, was it 98, I want to say, that neither team is ranked heading into this
and
game.
Then the A&M Alabama game, I mean, like, that was circled as like the game of the year, mm-hmm, but when
it's a 24-point line and I don't think Bryce is playing.
Yeah, and I mean, as we all predicted, College Game Day is headed to Lawrence, Kansas,
yes,
for Kansas,
exactly,
TCU, for an undefeated showdown between those two schools on the weekend of Texas A&M and Alabama. All we could talk about all offseason was that game. By the way, next weekend, holy moly, clear your schedule, tell your loved one you're sitting on the couch all day. October 15th is going to be an all-timer.
Man.
Alabama, Tennessee, Penn State, Michigan, USC, Utah, just to name a few. I mean, it is an absolute
behemoth. All right, who's going to ruin it? Let's find
Tennessee.
You think LSU?
That's the only one. Penn State's off a bye.
Can Washington State run the ball on SC?
I think that's a tricky spot. I mean, if it's at USC, but it's not like they really have a home field advantage. Oh, man, if that was up at the Palouse, I would love that spot. I would absolutely
nothing better
love that
than
spot.
Pullman on a Friday night.
Yeah, so I don't think Alabama's focused on this one. Tennessee, obviously, they go on the road. I don't think – so here's the thing. I'm really interested about UCLA's psyche because we talked about it last Friday on the show, right, that line seemed too good to be true. It was, right? Washington, everybody was on Washington. Everywhere you turned, Washington lay the 2.5, lay the 3. And ultimately, I was like, I got to take UCLA out of principle here, out of neighbor Nick theory, and UCLA gets it done. Now, does UCLA, home again, have enough to beat and stay competitive with Utah? I think Utah gets a big one here, but it could be, you know, look ahead for Utah as they host USC next week. It's a tricky card this week, guys, for me, honestly.
UCLA actually looked like they got, I don't know, 5,000 people from their own people in there. It's like, can they be asked to go 2 weeks in a row?
It's hard, yeah.
Ranked versus ranked game. Ranked versus ranked game.
Also, you know, another theory that a colleague of mine here at VSiN likes to do, fade teams when they jump into the top 25.
Yeah.
So they've got that number by them. UCLA would fit that. Kansas would fit that. Mississippi State, to an extent, would fit that. So, once again, nothing in betting is foolproof. Nothing is 100%. We wish there was. But, yeah, as I look down, I've locked in a bet on Florida earlier this week. You know, I'll say this. How is Illinois going to turn around now that they're, you know, a favorite over Iowa? I mean, the last 5 years, I was thumbing through Phil Steele's magazine, and he has the last 5 seasons, and he has the point spread of every single game. Iowa was a double-digit favorite the last 5 years against Illinois, and now they're an underdog against the Illini. Is Illinois ready to be a 3.5-point favorite against Iowa?
You mean Big Ten West co-favorite with Minnesota, Illinois?
No. Here's the deal, though. Is Burt better at being Iowa than Iowa is now? You know what I mean? He's going back to, you know, he's an Iowa boy. It's where he played. And, like, they actually can score on offense, and Iowa cannot.
Chase Brown is a dude. They're running back for Illinois. He's really good. But if they can't get it going against Iowa, I think that's a tricky spot. I mean, backing Spencer Petras is not really enjoyable.
Yeah, I watched a full game of him against Michigan on DVR. And
let me ask you this, because I know there's a lot of Ole Miss fans down there. Ole Miss off the win against Kentucky. Sleepy spot against Vanderbilt. Take the 18.5.
So when they have gone to Nashville, they usually wreck them.
Well, almost everyone wrecked Vanderbilt.
Yeah, but like, no, Vanderbilt used to circle the Ole Miss game as like the game they could win. Like, that used to be a thing. The question for me is, Kiffin right now, like, they are still developing on offense. Their defense is actually pretty good, but they're still developing on offense. How much does he want to beat them by? Because He's got one running back that's banged up already.
Mm-hmm.
Judkins, he knows, like, if he's going to end up, you know, he's got Auburn the next week, then LSU. Like, he's going to need him. Typically, though, this when they go to Nashville, they usually, you can bet on them more. So, like, last year, I think they were getting, like, 30 in this game, and I took the 30 because I knew they would try to slow the game down, and Ole Miss had a much bigger game on third. Like, it was a short week before the Egg Bowl. This feels a spot like where Kiffin didn't cover last week, but he feels like he might try on this one.
Yeah, and he seemed grumpy when he was very grumpy after winning the game. I'm like, dude, you just beat Kentucky. They were number 7 in the country. He was like, yeah, I guess we
Hey, at least he knew the line.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That was one of the games that I just wrote down. I didn't bet it. Another one, if you want to get, you know, jump in the trash here.
Oh, yeah.
Is Michigan overlooking Indiana this weekend?
Can Michigan overlook Indiana?
Take the 22 with the
Indiana
Hoosiers?
Lost by multiple scores to Nebraska.
Indiana beat Illinois.
You're bringing up every like hurtful bet of the year for me right now.
Michigan struggles in Iowa, sometimes Northwestern, sometimes Minnesota.
But they do not.
Indiana, usually they're pretty good. Even when they sleepwalk, they usually cover. I feel like I'm just going on gut,
got
not
Penn
any
State.
Sort of.
Big noon kickoff, waiting on deck at home. You gotta.
Well, it's TBD. We don't know the time yet. Although I think Joel Klatt and Gus Johnson are becoming like the team announcers. They've called three straight Michigan games, and they're probably gonna do next week's too against Penn State. Tim, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas, see ya.
That was Tim Murray of VSiN.